Okay, now let's get into our topic for today. We've been working through the Brian Klemmer book. This is week 6, and the book is When Good Intentions Run Smack into Reality. And these are 10 lessons to coach yourself and others to peak performance. And week 6 has to do with what? Are you hungry for feedback? And I'm just going to suggest to you that you really must become an expert at giving and receiving feedback. Why is that? Well, because a lot of us who are stuck in our lives, we know one thing for sure. If we don't change what we're doing, we're going to stay with where we are. It's one of those famous definitions of insanity. You know, if you keep doing everything you've always been doing and expect something different, and that is truly insanity. So people who are stuck, really, if you're not growing exponentially like you want to grow in your Manatech business, what you have to do is you have to start looking at why is that happening. And the best way to find out is to get some feedback. Really, it's finding feedback. It should be a constant part of your diet. You should be asking people, getting involved with people, asking their opinions, giving them data about what's going on in your life, whether it's upline, crossline, downline, whoever you can look at to see that could give you some feedback. You want to get that feedback. And you want to look at yourself today. Not only do you want to be a receiver of feedback, but you want to learn how to be a great giver of feedback, because everybody needs it. So feedback is the kind of information that we get from different sources that really can help us make corrections. And those corrections can be so slim. It could just be fine-tuning a path we're on. It could be fine-tuning some things we're saying. It could be fine-tuning our marketing plan. Just little things that can tweak our programs that can take us from mediocrity to incredible abundance, because we're finally getting some answers and some directions to make the changes that are necessary for us to truly experience the results that we're looking for in our life. And if you have resistance to feedback, and that's a big issue because a lot of people are resistant to feedback, what would cause that? Well, we'll get into what causes us not to be good feedback givers or receivers, and those all have to do with resistance around it. But you want to get rid of that resistance in your life. You want to make sure that you're always open for feedback, and there's many mechanisms to get you there. First, let's talk about how to receive feedback, because that's a big one, and that's usually where most of our resistance comes. Why do we have resistance about receiving feedback? Because, number one, we tend to look at feedback somehow as truth. And what you have to first realize, beyond anything else regarding feedback is not truth. All feedback is merely someone's viewpoint. In other words, it's their opinion, their perceptions, and for us to take it in, all we're going to do is really take in their feedback, and we can assimilate it. Do we agree with it? Disagree with it? Is it half-truth to us? Is it full-truth? What is it about the feedback that we can take and learn from? What can we glean from it that's truly going to move us forward? And the rest of it we can cast aside. In some instances, feedback is more about the giver than it is the receiver. So we really have to look at where the source is, where is it coming from? Do we dismiss it? Do we accept it? Do we, you know, apply it? What pieces of it can really be invaluable to us, and the rest of it we can put aside? But realize first and foremost that it is not truth. So that is critical. And when we come to that conclusion, that releases some of our resistance to receiving feedback. An example of that I gave in the outline really goes to, you know, you ask your son, how is he doing? Hey, is there anything wrong? Because you see him moping around for a couple days. And he says to you, well, I just feel that you don't love me anymore, Mom. Now, if that were truth, we'd all gasp and fall to the ground. But we know that that's not truth. What is he doing? He's expressing how he feels. You're getting feedback from him on why he's in this kind of mood swing. And what you do is you take the feedback and you grow from it. You know for a fact that's not true because you love your son. But the intriguing thing that feedback does for you is it brings a new awareness to you around, wow, what in my behavior is triggering him to feel that way, and how can I change that behavior so I don't get that kind of response from my son? So it's crucial for us to have that feedback in our life, because if we're not, we could potentially go on for life having this son think that we don't love him, and what an absurd situation that would generate. So again, it's not about truth. It's about learning about other people's feelings, their attitudes, their perceptions, and taking the information and applying it in our life to allow us to be the best we can be, as most successful as we can be. A second factor around receiving feedback is you have to realize feedback says nothing about you. it says nothing about you. Get that? In other words, don't take feedback personally. It's not, you don't have to get defensive about it. You don't have to be dismissive. You just have to look at the feedback for what it is. It's merely a response to you. It's somebody saying, this is my perception. This is what's going on. This is how I look at it. This is what, you know, and they're giving you feedback just to open your eyes to the possibilities of what else is out there. And you need to take it in and say, wow, don't get frustrated. Let all the negative emotions and the anger and the defensiveness, don't let that come out. Because it's not about you. Feedback is just collection of information. That's what it is. You're collecting information. You're finding out somebody else's opinion, somebody else's perceptions, whatever. You're just finding more information. So stay out of the personal aspect of it and take it for what it is. It's great to get feedback because feedback is what helps support us in making decisions on how we move forward. The third aspect of receiving feedback is you want to make sure that you're getting it from multiple sources. Don't rely on one person to give you all your feedback, because then all your feedback is tainted by their perception. And all of a sudden you're getting a one-way street coming back, and you don't want to do that. You're going to try to find it from different viewpoints. You want to understand how your behavior is being perceived, and you want to make decisions based on changing your behavior based on what many people perceive, not just one person. So it's always more valuable to go out and get feedback from multiple people. So there's your three lessons around receiving feedback. Always look at it as it's not truth. All it is basically someone's viewpoint coming back towards you. So you take it for exactly what it is, a viewpoint. Take what you can serve you and let go of the rest. Number two, never take it personally. It is not about you. It's about somebody else's perception. It's about somebody else's viewpoint. So don't go into defensive. Don't get into anger. Don't get into frustration around it. Open to receive. This will help you in a huge way be willing to receive feedback when you recognize it's not about you. And again, the third factor, multiple sources. Look for multiple people in your life who you receive feedback from. That's the way it's going to be the most beneficial for you. Now let's look at the other side of the coin. How do we give feedback? Wow. Give feedback. First of all, we don't tend to be very good at giving feedback. And one of the main reasons for that is we have this program running our life that we need to be liked. So when you give somebody feedback, you have a tendency, well, I don't want them to think I'm opinionated. I don't like them. Maybe they won't like what I say, so I'm not going to give them any feedback. Understand that every time you withhold feedback, you deny someone else information they need in order for them to make better decisions. Do you want others to treat you the same way? Therein lies the question. If you want to receive feedback, then you better learn how to give feedback. So we want to be great feedback givers in our life, because that's how we're going to be making a great contribution in people's life. Again, back to the program. I need to be liked. That gets in the way too many times. Leaders, true leaders, which is what we all should view ourselves as, because that's really how we're supposed to be, you know, viewed. That's who we're supposed to step into, is our leadership role. It's something that all of us need to step into. True leaders interfere in people's lives to get them to do things that they would not otherwise do. So if interference is part of being a true leader, then obviously the need to be liked needs to be put aside. It's not about winning friends and influencing people. It's about how do I make a contribution and impact other people's lives, just as I would want them to do with me. Another reason that causes people to hold back from giving feedback is something we call, we have to be experts. In other words, we don't know enough. We come out and we try to suggest to people, oh my goodness, I don't know enough, I can't do it. You know, so we shy away from giving feedback because we feel like we're not smart enough, or we feel, we look at the other person, we're intimidated, and we think, what could I ever contribute to their lives? Oh my goodness, again, you are denying them information that they need to make better decisions. So get out of this, I'm not good enough, I'm not enough, I'm not expert enough, I don't know enough. Throw all of that aside. That in kind of status, or taking that kind of position, is really denying people the right to know what they need to know, the right to get the information they need to have. So, and it's not about how intelligent you are. It's not about what an expert you are. Your feedback is based on your experiences. And no one in your life has had the identical experiences you have. So there's always room for you to contribute anyone else's life. When you're making a contribution and giving feedback, of course, focusing on that, you want to describe your opinion on feedback first, then ask permission to give the feedback. Otherwise, you may not get the kind of response you're wanting. In other words, you can't just go around this world and keep offering up feedback to everybody because, number one, they may not want it. And you don't want to be giving feedback to somebody who doesn't want it. So a lot of times when I give people feedback, if it's not in a coaching or mentoring session where we already have the agreement and the permission is there, I will listen to somebody and I'll say, would you like some feedback? Because if you just immediately start throwing stuff at them, they might really be offended by your attitude around it. So you want to make sure that you give them feedback. A great way to start that is to say, you know, I really am into this concept of sharing and contributing people's lives by giving them feedback, but one of the things I acknowledge, feedback is merely a viewpoint. Start with that premise so you already set them up for success, you set them up for not to be defensive or angry, whatever you might say. So you say, I understand that this is just my viewpoint, but if you'd like some feedback, I'd be more than happy to give it. And hear what they have to say. If they're ready for it, then dish it out. If they're not ready for it, then A-okay, move on. If somebody says, I don't want to grow, so don't give me information, I need to make a better decision, what can you do? You must honor that position they're holding and move back. Now, if it's somebody that's a near and dear person in your family, you may not want to honor it as strongly as you would a third party. You may want to try to convince them that the feedback would be valuable for them. But most times, you're going to honor their decision. So make sure that's how you do the presentation of giving feedback. Another very important aspect of being a great feedback giver is you have to remove yourself from any expectation of how they respond to your feedback. In other words, don't give somebody feedback thinking that you're going to manipulate and change their lives. Because they have an absolute choice whether to totally dismiss everything you say or to take heed of it. That's their choice. It's not yours. It's kind of like when we try to have impact on people's lives. You can't change another person. The only person you can change is yourself. But in giving feedback, you can hopefully open their eyes to another possibility that may down the road cause them to make a different decision in terms of how they operate, what they do, how they act, their behavior. But you've got to be of the position that it doesn't matter. No expectation. It's kind of like giving a gift, because really feedback is a gift. When you give a gift is only a gift if there's zero expectation of getting something in return. So look at the same way at feedback. No expectation of a change in behavior and no expectation of getting something back or changing someone's life. If you're trying to convince a person of something, then you're really not just offering a viewpoint. Now you're getting into a convincing state. You're trying to sell them on something, and it's a different, whole different approach. Feedback isn't about convincing somebody. It's about exactly what it says, giving them feedback. What kind of form you can use is you can kind of talk about it in different ways. I like to tell people when they say things, I say, would you like some feedback? And they'll say, sure, Mary Jo. And I'll go, my experience of you is. So I'm not getting judgmental with them. It stays out of judgment. It just can be, my experience of you is that you carry this level of scarcity around you, that things are running your life like money or assets and things like that instead of you being able to come from, you know, your inner core values because that scarcity machine is so big in your life. You know, that's the way you do it. My experience of you. Or when people say things, that's a great one to use in a spousal relationship. So many times our spouses say, you know, we get into a battle or some kind of disagreement and then the mud starts flying. And you go, you always hurt me. Wrong. As soon as you start using the you, what you're doing is you're getting a blaming, you're accusing. It just gets into this dogfight and it never stops. It just escalates. Stay away from blaming and pointing the finger at you. It's a better way of saying it is, when you do these things, this is my response. So there is no blame or guilt or pointing fingers. None of that is occurring in the communication. When you take this kind of action, honey, this is how it makes me feel. A very different approach to an inner reaction, a very wonderful, soft approach at giving somebody feedback, but it it stays out of the argumentative cycle or a feeling of attack or being attacked or attacking. Very, very different. So you want to stay out of judgment. You're offering an opinion, not the truth. Because remember, feedback is not truth, it is merely feedback. So another thing to say is, what worked from your viewpoint and what did not work? You know, try to suggest that. That's another good question to ask. So there's many ways of offering good feedback, but be careful that you're not just out there throwing this in people's faces everywhere you go, because you're going to turn people off, and that's not an effective way of building relationships and impacting lives. Now, looking at who you look at in your life, where do we get feedback from? And I'm going to suggest to you, as does Brian Klemmer in his book, he says that every one of us should have three people in our life who we want feedback from all the time. And if you do not have these three people in your life, then you need to create them. The three people that Brian talks about in his book are the same three that I agree with, because I think these are the kind of people that will move you in incredible ways. And they're just three levels, really. One is, the closest level for you is going to be the one that's called your coach. Every single one of us need a coach, whether it's a life coach, a business coach. We need a coach in our life. We need, because a coach is somebody that really is a, I'll give you the definition he gave in the book, a great system for organized interference. And I kind of laugh at that. A great system for organized interference. You want somebody interfering in your life. You want somebody that's going to see the blind spots for you, because we all have blind spots. We can get frustrated. We can get caught up. We can get lost in stuff. And all of a sudden, we get a coach in our life, and we go, hey, here. But coaching takes a certain amount of surrendering. It takes a certain amount of acceptance and permissiveness for them to be brutally honest with you. You want that type of person in your life. But of course, to have that type of person, you better have a level of trust around that person, that they're not there to manipulate you or change you. They're there to support you and interfere in your life to allow you to achieve the things in your life you would not achieve without their interference. So that's what you want to do. You want to give them open permission for feedback at any time, and allow them to have that openness and ability to find those blind spots and point them out to you so you can be more effective. You have to do your homework on finding a coach. You don't want to just pick anybody, because you want to make sure that it's somebody who really can contribute to you. Some of the issues around finding a coach would be, make sure they have experience in your field. You don't want to get a coach who coaches, you know, professional athletes to coach you in how to do your manatech business. Now, many of the truths apply in both of those scenarios, but you're paying a lot, big high dollar for a lot of talent that you're not going to be using in your applicable field. So make sure they have experience in your field. I find that's absolutely crucial in order to have a good coach. Find somebody who holds you accountable for standards. You want to make sure that they have standards in their life that are consistent with standards you want to be held accountable for. Because if their standards are far less than yours, now you're going to be a problematic situation that you're not pushing yourself to your limit. You want to find a coach that sets the context by operating from those same standards. In other words, he's not double standard. There's not a double standard in his life or her life that's going to cause you problems trying to work with him, because then you won't believe him. The integrity in the relationship will be lost. Also, you want to make sure you find somebody who tells the truth so people in here and understand. It's not somebody who's going to go off the beaten path and go in a different direction and just say what sounds good at a specific time just to make it blow over. You're looking for somebody who has got hard line truth, and he's going to say it clearly and succinctly so it's heard and understood. Not somebody who beats around the bush, tries to make you feel better about yourself or about other things. You need truth in this coaching relationship. And then you want to find somebody who's effective, somebody who brings wins in people's lives, who helps you create wins in your life. And that is what really reflects what you want in your coach. So use those kind of standards when you go out and interview and talk to people about finding a coach. You want to find those kind of characteristics. And the last characteristic is really probably the most important one, that our belief systems have us on automatic to preserve the status quo. We want to make sure we have a coach that gets us to do things we wouldn't do without them being in our lives, because status quo is not where we want to be. It is not attractive, it's not moving forward, and it's not getting us what we want in life. So it's about somebody interfering in your life, getting you to do things you wouldn't otherwise do without them. The second level of people in your life you want to have feedback from is somebody called a mentor. Very unlike a coach, a mentor needs permission in order to coach. In other words, a mentor is somebody you choose in your life to model yourself after. There may be people in your life you got to look down and say, okay, who in my life do I have so much respect for? Who would I like to be like when I grow up? Kind of one of those statements. And when you find people in your life that you really admire, and that could be all sorts of different people, that's the type of person you want to be a mentor, as a mentor. Now, some people actually use mentors as authors. And can you have a mentor who's an author? Absolutely. You're not going to have a lot of conversation with them, perhaps, but you can grow a lot by having a mentor be an author by reading and absolutely applying everything in the books that they've written to your life. So they can serve you in many ways, even though you don't have them as an integral person that you're interacting with all the time. But a mentor is somebody you watch, you read, you study, you just have an incredible, you know, like, admiration for, and you say, I want to model myself after this person. And that's what makes a mentor. If you get them to start giving you feedback, then it's really through permission, because it's really not about you getting permission. It's about them being a coach to you. It's about them being a mentor. You can have a mentor. A mentor could be a boss that you have. But when you have a mentor relationship, it's truly one about surrender. You're not there to be feisty and fight against them and defend yourself and all these things. You're about there to study them, study their behavior, absorb their characteristics, their traits that you so admire. It takes time and energy. And most of us, if we're going to be mentors for somebody else in our life, you can't mentor very many people in your life. But it really is a choice that we make as mentors. When we find people in our life that we choose to pass our knowledge on to, then we become a mentor to that person. And it also takes a lot of vulnerability, because mentors, if you're going to choose to be a mentor to somebody, you have to become very vulnerable. You have to be ready to answer their questions and disclose a lot, a tremendous lot, about you to them to help them grow and see what makes you tick as a person. The final category, which is the third person Brian says everybody needs in their life, is an accountability partner. And that's a must, because we all need to be held accountable. Most of us don't like ever hearing the word accountability. It's one of those we tend to shy away from, stay away from. You know, we don't enjoy it. We rather do it on our own. We rather do our own thing. Some of us feel like it restricts our freedom when we're stuck in accountability issues. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you feel like your freedom's restricted when you're being held accountable, you will never have freedom. Because it's only through being held accountable for a period of time that you're going to actually achieve the freedom that you want in your life. So sometimes we have to make some minor sacrifices up front in the short term to have what we truly want in life in the long term. So accountability is critical. We always want people in our lives that are going to hold our feet to the fire and say, oh, let's look at your form. Let's see what you're doing. Through Manatech, we do it through daily action trackers, weekly action planners, business action plans, all sorts of tools that we have and materials that we have that we can utilize effectively in a relationship with somebody to be an accountability partner. So you need to find that person. You need to first find the person who you can have as an accountability partner. You can use the spouse as an accountability partner. They tend to be a little tougher because the overwhelming emotion there sometimes causes them not to be such a good accountability partner. But you need to have one in your life. You need to have somebody you feel is tough on you, somebody that is not going to bend and break when you whine and cry. They're going to hold you to your word. They're going to help you build incredible integrity and commitment in your life. That's what accountability partners are about. They're going to ensure that the action you commit to taking, you take. And those are terrific characteristics for somebody in your life to have who's going to help you and support you be the best you can be. The three characteristics I list in the outline for your accountability is that, number one, you can tell them anything. In fact, that's impeccable integrity on their part. They're totally confidential and trustworthy and honest with you, so you can tell them anything. They're not intimidated by you in any way, shape, or form. The minute intimidation comes out in your relationship with them, you've lost the ability to have them as an accountability partner, because now they'll waffle and waver, and they're just going to concede because they're intimidated. So it has to be somebody who has zero intimidation with you. And the third characteristic is you have to commit. You, as the partner, have to commit that you're going to be totally honest with them. Because any dishonesty enters into the picture, and all of a sudden, how can they hold you accountable? And dishonesty can look a lot of different ways. A lot of us sometimes on our war planners or our daily action trackers or our business plans, we make commitments that we have no intent on keeping. In fact, we tend to be people that are most dishonest with ourselves. That's our human nature. We make commitments that we break, and the number one person we break our commitments with is ourselves. So the dishonesty that's there is overwhelming. So we need to step into coming from a real strong, honest position. And sometimes that means we have to take a bite and say, wow, okay, big gulp. I'm not going to make those kind of commitments again because I'm not completing them. So I'm going to start back in a very small level. So on my weekly action plan, I might say I'm going to contact 5 new people. I've been saying 5 a day, and I'm not doing it, so there's something wrong. Now, I might suggest that the something wrong is that you're not getting out and being visible enough, and I truly believe that's the problem. But until you figure out how to do that and get out of your fear and all your other things, the programs running your life that are holding you back from doing what's most important in this business, you better start being honest with yourself. And that means don't put commitments down on that daily action tracker or weekly action plan that you have no commitment to really do. Don't lie to yourself. Be honest with yourself and be honest with your accountability partner. And that accountability partner is going to be incredible for you. So you see, there's 3 roles that you're looking for: a coach, a mentor, and accountability partner. They serve 3 different roles. Can one person be all 3? Not going to happen. Virtually impossible. Because again, a mentor is not somebody who's a coach. A mentor is somebody in your life that you model after. So you can't have a coach and a mentor, because then they're not really a mentor and a coach. They're one or the other. And the accountability partner, a coach can be an accountability partner. There's no question that's true. But that mentoring role is somebody that's totally independent from a coach and or an accountability partner. The value of feedback. I gave you a great quote at the end of the outline, which I hope you keep with you forever because it has a lot of meaning to me and it's a terrific quote. It says, when it comes right down to it, all of this is about you being the best you possible. It is about you becoming everything you are capable of becoming. And usually, this is much more than you can envision on your own. Thus, the need for feedback. We need to grow in feedback. We need to honor it. We need to search for it. We need to find it. We need to know how to give it. We need to know how to receive it. And we need to desire it every day of our life. So fall in love with feedback. You will make just incredible things happen in your life when you get hungry for feedback. Okay, that's the end of today's call.